Hi, I'm Tim Peter, and welcome to Search Chat, Solo Segment's podcast dedicated to all things search, AI, and content marketing related. Who is Solo Segment? Well, we're a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter. You can learn more at solosegment.com.
In this episode of Search Chat, Solo Segment CEO Steve Zaker and I discuss MarTech and its effects on marketing overall. We also talk about personalization and how you can do it with or without technology. And of course, if you want to use technology, we discuss some of the best ways to do that to personalize for your customers. All that and more on the latest Solo Segment Search Chat, coming at you right about now.
Hey, Steve, how are you today?
I'm great. And I'm actually really excited to be back on our afternoon recording schedules because those early mornings, while they did help us, get the deep radio voice, were a little hard. So happy to be in the evenings again.
You'd rather be four or five cups of coffee in instead of just one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you really need that.
I get it. All right, cool. Well, we have some really cool stuff to talk about today. And I want to start. There's this really, really great article from a guy I would consider something of a friend. You know, he's a guy you've talked to quite a bit, really smart guy, Scott Brinker, who's over at martech.com, really good guy, who asked a really provocative question on their blog the other day when he started asking, is MarTech marketing? And more importantly, can you market without MarTech?
Yeah.
And I thought that was really thought-provoking and really, you know, something you might have a thought or two about.
Well, it is interesting. I talk again. I probably say this phrase every time we talk, but I talk to a lot of digital marketing leaders. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I always try to talk about, especially it's not a sales pitch or it's not a customer pitch or discussion, is just a discussion trying to get some thought leadership out of the market. And, you know, very often I like to talk about, you know, how they think about their digital marketing versus kind of traditional marketing. We're always comparing and contrasting things. And one of the things that maybe a year ago when I started these conversations, you know, the last question was, well, tell me about your marketing technology stack. And well, that doesn't happen anymore. And it didn't happen really often then, to be honest with you, but
sure,
marketing technology is woven into everything. And I'll probably talk a lot about a conversation I had this morning with a technology company in Europe. But, you know, it was interesting how he was talking about SEO and then he talked about the SEO technology. And then they were talking about personalization. He was talking about the personalization talk. And that led to us, you know, so every time we talked about, well, I'm doing content marketing and my, you know, my CMS does this and this, but not that, right? So the technology was just totally interwoven with, you know, the business process, which is, I guess, the way mature business processes work, right? The technology is an enabler of that thing. But, you know, no longer do we think about, oh, I'm going to do marketing and I'm going to do MarTech. And I think that's the point of Scott's post was, you know, most companies are way far along on that continuum. And I'm not sure too many of them are on, you know, marketing is dominated by MarTech, but I think, you know, embedded and absorbed, sure. Those are things that I think a lot of companies recognize these days.
Well, I think you make a great point about, you know, the maturity curve, right? You think about when you first create any kind of process, when you first do anything, you know, the first thing you do is you have to figure out, does it work? Is it effective, right? Mm-hmm. And then you figure out how to get efficient at it. And the way you get efficient is first you come up with a process for it. And then secondly, you go ahead and automate it. So it does seem to make sense that the more mature you are in any kind of marketing function, the more you're going to move down that curve of, okay, do we know it works? Yes. Then we're going to processize it, I guess, for lack of a better word. And then we're going to automate it, right? Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense. So with regard to that, you know, it's a really interesting thought. So what I hear you saying, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, though God knows I do from time to time, is that, you know, any mature marketing organization really ought to be thinking about MarTech and what they do from a platform perspective and what they do from an automation perspective in all of the parts of marketing that they're doing as they achieve a certain level of maturity, right?
Yeah, yeah, you bet. And, you know, I think what happened, and it's kind of interesting, you know, there was a lot of fragmentation in the industry 5 to 7 years ago. A lot of consolidation kind of up to about, I don't know, the past 2 years ago. And I'm kind of making up these time frames, but I'm just trying to get a feel of it. But if you look, you know, Scott again does that kind of grid every year of here's all the companies and where they fit in. And there's something like 7,000 companies in that MarTech list right now. We're one of them, I'm happy to say. But, you know, if you just look at that grid, there has been a lot of consolidation. So some of those logos, I mean, all logos are not equal, right? Our logo is the same size as the Adobe one. And, you know, nobody would mistake us for them. But what I think you've seen is a couple of things.
Well, not yet.
I'm sorry. Yes, not yet. but what I think you're seeing here is that kind of rush to consolidation where Adobe bought up ton of small people and a ton of big people. And by the way, you know, IBM did the same thing and a bunch of other folks did the same thing, you know, created these integrated suites. And so, that was the rush was, you know what, there's so much stuff going on here. Help me, the marketing consumer, figure out the MarTech landscape. And I think that's where we saw kind of the rise of the integrated suite. And I think because of this continuum that Scott talks about, right, where we went from, well, our marketing was assisted by MarTech or MarTech was embedded in some of the processes. Mm-hmm. And now we're kind of further along where, you know, marketing and MarTech are kind of absorbed by one another. That's an interesting word. What I think is that the marketing professional is now much more comfortable with the technology, right? So whereas a couple of years ago, they needed the large MarTech companies to help them understand the marketplace, help them understand what capabilities should be important to them, and help them integrate them, which I think is the biggest problem. Now we've seen marketing executives who are a lot more comfortable with technology, and also marketing vendors who are getting a lot smarter about integration. And so where they have to hardwire stuff together, they have the integrations. I mean, there was one company I was looking at, and they listed 70 applications that they integrated with. Other companies take kind of the public API approach, which we're doing, which is, hey, if you want our data, take the data and make it available. So I think that trend where marketing technology has now become kind of absorbed or at least embedded in MarTech processes, where marketing professionals are a lot more comfortable with the technology, and we are marketing technology vendors are integrating or making integrations a lot easier. I think now that's created kind of space in the market where integrated suite might start losing out to best in class, where you've got a specific pain point and you can deploy a technology to really address that specific pain point.
Absolutely. So let's talk about a specific pain point for the moment. You know, let's talk about personalization, which obviously is something very near and dear to our heart. And you know, there was a piece, we put this up, Madeline on our team put up a great piece a couple weeks ago about personalization is not just for B2C. And she had a great statistic in there. There's a report from a company called Seismic that said, you know, according to this report, 67%, so two-thirds of the B2B companies who are doing personalization are either entirely or mostly using manual processes for content personalization.
Wow.
Which, what the hell?
And by the way, so this company I talked to this morning, it's funny, you know, as we were thinking about what we're going to talk about today, so many examples came out of my discussion in the this morning. And it's not because that company is a unicorn. It's because that company is exactly like every other company. And so, we got to talking about personalization, and that led us to visitor journeys. Because really, you know, when you think about personalization, it's driven by what's the persona. And again, we can think about that persona in a lot more detail with some technology like visitor ID, right? You can get really specific, not just a tech buyer, but a tech buyer in this industry, in this region of the country. yada, yada, and put in some third-party data. And you've got a lot of data about that persona that you can deliver content to. And he cited the two things that, quite frankly, everybody I've talked to about personal, everybody who struggles in B2B with personalization struggles with two things, right? The first is I bought the technology and it's part of my integrated platform. And yeah, the sales guy told us it was in there and it sure was in there. But oh, by the way, you know, it's going to cost me. And he quoted this morning, he goes, we estimate about $1 million a year in developer time to configure and maintain the personalization software in their integrated stack. Wow. And it's like, wow. Okay. And that's on top of the license fees he already pays for. So now again,
right. So you're talking a couple million deep at this point.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they're a multi-billion dollar company. So, I mean, it's not going to kill them to make that investment, but it's, you know, you're looking really hard at ROI and personalization before you pop $1 million into that function.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah,
that's,
yeah, for sure.
That was their big struggle. They couldn't kind of make the business case work. And by the way, that's likely because they also don't have a very mature digital marketing capability. So, again, there are other companies who might find it, a lighter lift from a business case perspective. But even if you could do that, the thing that's going to kill personalization is the grid, right? And the grid is, you know, all of your personas and the various dimensions of persona, industry, and job role, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, it's the columns. Those are the rows, right? And then it's the columns, which are, you know, awareness. And I'm just oversimplifying this, but awareness content, consideration content, yada, yada. And now, and now you've got a ton of content. And, you know, it was funny. He did the math real quick. It was kind of like, well, if I have 10 steps and I have, you know, 14 personas, that's 140. But then I've got a page template that has 10 elements on it. So that's 1,400, right? And so, you know, you begin to start multiplying these things and it gets pretty complex. And so I think between the IT lift that a lot of these integrated suites require and the content lift, which quite frankly, nobody has budget for, that's really the Achilles heel of personalization. And there are some people who can make that lift because they can identify the value very crisply and tag that to more revenue or more retention or more whatever. But many companies struggle with that. And that's the challenge. Right. That's the challenge for personalization.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, I'm going to throw in a thing that I talk about all the time about, you know, when I talk to people who really do marketing well, you know, the simplest way to improve your ROI, I shouldn't say the simplest way, the fastest way to improve your ROI is lower the I. You know, we always, we always work so hard on how do I drive more return? How do I drive more return? It's like, yeah, but if you can do it for less investment, you're all automatically getting a better a better return on your investment as well. So, you know, if you don't have to spend $1 million or $2 million or $3 million bucks to do it, you're starting off from a better place.
Yeah,
right?
No, absolutely. And I think that leveraging, and we'll get into this in a moment, but I think that leveraging kind of what you have is always the first step, right? Looking at the technology and the content and the resources that you have, the people that you have, and how can you make better use of that? There was, just real quick, there was one other thing that was really interesting in Maddie's blog post, and it was some Salesforce data, which basically talked about the fact that, you know, people expect personalization, right? Because, and that's something we shouldn't lose, is the reason we're doing it is not only because it can deliver a more relevant, user experience, but, you know, just like, I mean, you go back 20 years, and if you looked at any, like, here's what people are saying about your brand, and 20 years ago, they wanted you to know them, right? They wanted you to know them, not only so they could, you know, get the product that they wanted that was relevant to them. So if you were a sales guy walking go back to the IBM blue suits, right? If I'm an IBM blue suiter walking into some company in 1995, right? The person sitting across the table wanted me to know them, right? At a minimum, I know who they are. I know what their company's about. I know, you know, I've done all this research, right? And exists today as well. That thing hasn't changed. That thing is human nature. And so when we say people expect personalization, what we're really saying is people still expect for you to know them. That is the most important thing as a, you know, as a vendor selling to somebody is, I can only sell to you if I understand your problems, if I have empathy for your problems, and if I can solve your problems. And in order for me to do that, I have to know you. So, you know, again, it's and that is only going to increase. I think the Salesforce data was something like 75% of people will expect to have a personalized experience by 2020. And so the clock is running.
Yeah. And by the way, I wouldn't be doing my job as podcast host if I didn't remind those of you listening that Steve and I had a great discussion about that very topic about a month ago in an episode called Your Customers Are Begging for Better Personalization, which we will link to in the show notes. But bringing us back on topic from this perspective is this, Steve. You said, you know, the problem is the grid, right? You've got all of these content, you know, holes you have to plug. You have all of these different pieces, stages in the journey you have to address and the like. And, you know, manually, that just isn't easy to do, right? And clearly, doing that manually is a heavy lift.
Nobody's going to do that. And that's and what's interesting. So now you peel that back. So what do you do, right? So you're stuck, right? And now you got to figure out what to do. And, you know, when you go back to that 67% number who are doing it manually, well, the reason they're doing it manually is because they're focusing. And, well, either they're doing it wrong or they're focusing. And I think they're mostly probably focusing, right?
You mean they're able to do it manually because.
Exactly. Yeah. And so what they're doing is they're staying laser focused on, well, you know, what are my top campaigns, right? So that's always going to get attention. That's, you know, kind of top of funnel activity. That's where you get your MQLs from. So that's where you're going to absolutely laser focus. And I'm sure they're handcrafting the experiences around that religiously. And that's the right thing to do, right? That kind of focus. And you can also do a bit with that with your top content, with some of your top of funnel content. So you can focus on those few things and kind of get by. The challenge is, of course, with the rest of it, and what do you do?
Right. So the rest of it, Steve, what do you do?
Good luck. Well, you know, part of the top content and top of funnel discussion is going to get you there, right? Because it's going to be kind of a couple of concentric circles, right? So the first will be the most critical, and that's the obvious stuff. Everybody probably can recite it verbatim. And then the question is, you know, what's the next circle if you were to expand beyond that and focus? And it really is beginning to get at what does the data tell you, right? So what are the various places that you can go to get data about it, right? Because if you just go ask your content teams, whether that's an agency or people who work for you, you know, they'll get those first three categories, right? Top campaigns, top content, top of funnel. They know that stuff cold. Now you got to go look at some data, right, to get that kind of next concentric circle that you should focus on. And so where are you going to get the data? Well, search, right, is the first place you go. So whether that is organic, you know, site search, right, so your SEO teams, they know what's resonating out there. You can go to paid search. And by the way, paid search, you know, expand that to include paid social and, you know, almost any paid mechanism, but paid search and paid social are probably the two biggest ones there.
Well, and if I can jump in, then your paid team really ought to have a good idea of what content is working,
if
right?
If they don't, maybe you need a different paid team. there's an ROI that's measurable, right?
Exactly, right.
And the third search category that I go after is site search. And the great thing about site search, I guess paid search is to this to a certain extent, but also site search is you have great data, right? You know, on a website, you know, what people are searching for, and you know what they're clicking. And if you have the right metrics, you know what's making them successful. And so, you know, you can kind of tie these things together and get a good sense of, you know, from a search domain, what's the right content out there. So I think that's kind of another area that folks can go after to get a sense of, you know, what's the content I should focus on and where are those journeys starting, right? Because those can also be the starting points for, you know, what people are doing, what people are trying to achieve on the website. What this guy this morning said was, you know, that's where he starts from an intent perspective, right? If he tries to get some sense of intent from all of those search domains.
Right. So you got to focus, right? You got to use your data. What else? What else do they need to do?
Well, I think there's another place, and I think, again, everybody has this. It's just sometimes these things are siloed, but, you know, clearly, you know, your analytics are going to tell you a lot. And the most important thing that your analytics are going to tell you is the relationship between content and task completion or goal achievement. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about goal achievement in kind of the classic, I've got a marketing campaign, it's got a campaign code, it's got a call to action. But I'm thinking kind of in the broader sense where somebody comes onto your website from some organic place. Some organic search is going to be Google, of course. So they come onto your website from Google search. And two clicks later, they're on a page where they fill out the form and they say, contact me, right? So you can begin to see those. Now, what's hard is there's not a straight line. You know, I'd like to say, and I kind of make this data up, but anybody who's done analytics for any length of time knows this to be true, right? If you've got 50,000 visitors on your website, excluding one page bounces, but all those journeys that are two or more pages, if you have 50,000 of them, you have 49,000 unique journeys, right? Nobody follows the same path. So you really have to focus on the endpoint, which is what are the tasks and how are people getting there? And that's where the analytics gets a little harder because Google's not going to tell you that. Google Analytics, Adobe Analytics, probably not going to tell you that. You're going to need a little more advanced skills.
Certainly not as effectively as you'd like them to.
Yeah, right? And you know, if you have a good data science-y sort of person, you can probably begin to make the data dance in ways that help you understand. we call it vector analysis, which is kind of the technical term, but you're doing a vector analysis on all the possible ways to a point and how do you identify the important, basically, cells in that vector that help lead to, or multiple vectors that help lead to a specific task. But just a fancy way of saying there are basically two or three important pieces of content on your website that lead to your important topics. And if you can identify those and then direct those people to those two or three important pieces of content, that's going to increase the likelihood that they get to the task, as opposed to what happens on many sites today, which is just a random walk through the content.
What I hear you saying, it sounds like you could do this, you know, somewhat manually. It's going to be tough to scale, but as long as you have the right focus, as long as you identify those right vectors in the content, in the journeys, rather, so long as you, you know, have the right analytics around what's going on there, and as long as you're, you know, thinking about the content that's actually being effective, you could start to put that in front of people at a certain point in the process, right? I mean, at least in theory, that's a doable thing,
I think so. Again, if you're focused on those top, I mean, it comes back to the focus thing. You're going to have to choose your battles if you're doing it manually. And of course, that thing gives you the opportunity to think about, well, what should I be bringing into my technology stack? You know, back to, you know, Scott Brinker's point, you know, marketing is MarTech. And so if you've got a marketing problem, there is a marketing technology that's going to help you solve that. And so how do you begin to look at, well, what can I overlay on my analytics to better understand the journey data? What can I overlay on my search data to better aggregate and understand search? What can I overlay on my content to better understand what content is about? And then how can I use those three things to improve the customer experience to the point where when somebody comes to my website, I can understand what they're after. I can interpret that in ways that makes sense from a content perspective, and then deliver the right content to help them progress on the journey.
Now, Steve, if only there was a piece of technology that would help people do this.
Have you heard my pitch, Tim? Well, I mean, it is a place that we're focused on. I mean, this is our market thesis, and you know, it's something that we believe very strongly in, that those three things, the data just trapped in your search, whether that's site search or paid search or organic, the data trapped in your content, which is mostly what is the content about? Can you describe that in data-driven ways to really understand the content? And then the journey, the information that's trapped in the journey, can you unlock those in ways? It is, you know, shameless plug time. So, you know, I will say that, you know, it is something that Guidebox is focused on, is to try to, you know, we're starting with content recommendation because that's a use case that I think everybody's familiar with. But how can you bring forward at the right moment, the right piece of content to help your prospects, your customers achieve the task they're trying to achieve. And, you know, again, it really is based upon fundamentally the things you already have. And that's part of our goal, right? Is to solve that. I've got finite resources, finite humans, finite money, finite attention. How do I then take those things and direct them in a way that allows me to make the best use of the things I already have, right? The content that's already out there, to deliver that experience that people expect. That experience is going to help me grow my business and bring it to bear on the problem so that those things actually happen.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's what a nice way to put a nice little bow on it, Steve. That's fantastic. So the key takeaway is, you know, make sure we're thinking about MarTech when we think about marketing. Make sure we think about how we personalize. Make sure you focus and use the data you have available to you to put the right content in front of the customer when they come to you. And if you struggle to do it manually, there are MarTech solutions such as Guidebox from Solo Segment. Did I accurately sum that up?
That's a beautiful summation. Thank you, Tim.
Well, it's my pleasure. Steve, any last words before we let you get on with the rest of your day?
No, I think we're good to go. Thanks very much for hosting us this evening.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to talking with you next time.
Take care.
Search Chat is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment is a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter, and learn more at solosegment.com. If you like what you've heard today, click on the subscribe links you can find at solosegment.com/podcast, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts can be found. You can also find us on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/company/solosegment, on Facebook at facebook.com/solosegment, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @solosegment, or you can drop us an email at info@solosegment.com. Again, that's info@solosegment.com. For Search Chat, I'm Tim Peter. I hope you have a great rest of the week. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to chatting with you next time here on Search Chat. Until then, take care, everybody.